was being ordained. I don't know if she remembers, but one of the things that Pastor Dawn said to me was always be ready and be prepared for change at a moment's notice. And so last night when I couldn't sleep, you know, I've stopped tossing and turning. I've stopped doing that.
Okay.
When I can't sleep, I just get up.
Okay.
I walk across the hall and I sit down in my private office and I say, okay, right. And so your scripture was read because the bulletin was printed. But there is a word in the book of Genesis coming from the 32nd chapter, the 22nd through the 32nd verse.
All right.
And he rose up that night and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the Ford Jabbok. He took them and he sent them over the brook with everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man until the breaking of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the daybreak. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me.
All right.
And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince that has power with God and with men, and you have prevailed.
Amen.
Jacob asked him, and he said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that you ask me my name? And he blessed him right there. Verse 30 says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel,
mm-hmm.
for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over until the sun rose up on him, and he lived on his thigh. May the Lord add a blessing to this word. As we go into this time of reflection, I ask God that you would just be with me and move me out of the way so that we can hear what it is that you have to say to these, thy people. It is our prayer and our petition that we will hear from you, God, on this day and in this place. It is our prayer that we will not leave here like we came. It is our prayer that we will not leave here the same way that we came in. It is our prayer that whatever it is that needs to be moved out of our lives, God, that you will do it on this day in this very place.
Yeah.
We stand in expectation of what you are about to do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Let the church say,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to talk to you today on the text, are you willing to wrestle? Now you see, we were supposed to be talking about holiness. And I realized very quickly after the foundation of Restoration Temple was shaken, and when I watched folks fall off, and when I saw what had happened, I realized, you know, people may come to the church simply because they like the name. And if they like the name Restoration Temple, that means they're coming through the door with something that's broken. If they like the name, come on y'all, stay with
Amen.
Me. If they like the name Restoration,
Amen.
It means they're coming in with an expectation of something
yes.
that has been broken, of being restored.
Yes.
So if you've got a house full of folks that are looking for restoration, you have got a house full of folks that have something what we have labeled erroneously as church hurt.
Yes.
Amen. So what I've realized is I'm pastoring a group of folks who are wounded.
Uh-huh.
So we can't just assume, we can't just come in and do church like we normally do church.
Jesus.
I'm used to folks talking back to me when I go and visit and preach in other churches. I get up and say, and let the redeemed of the Lord, and folks shout,
yes.
say so.
Yes.
But then I get home and I have to say, are you with me? Will you talk to me? And I really, then afterwards I hear all week long, boy, you really touched my heart. Oh, that was a great message. And I thought to myself, well, I didn't hear anything on Sunday. And God said, you're working with a different group of folks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So starting next week, we're going to go back and we're going to examine holiness.
Amen. Amen.
So
Amen.
We can work on ourselves individually so we can be a stronger team. Amen.
Amen.
But on today, we're coming from the book of Genesis. And I'm asking you, are you willing to wrestle.
Yeah.
And I realize that this passage of scripture may appear to be confusing, and I'm coming from the Old Testament, but you know there is a thought process, there is a thing going around the Christian community, and that is said that the Old Testament is not for us, amen, that it's just the New. And I want to tell you, if you get around somebody that says something like that to you, you need to run, because the Bible, from the front to the back and the side to the side, is just as relevant now as it was when it was written.
Amen.
When Christ came, he didn't say forget about it.
Yeah.
He said, I came to fulfill that thing.
Yeah.
So that means the front to the back, it is all for us.
Yeah.
The Bible is true and it's correct. And if you study it and understand it, you will see that it is relevant for today's situations and today's circumstances.
Yeah.
Are you willing to wrestle today?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be careful with pronouns, and I want you to understand when I say you, I'm talking to me too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
I'm including myself
in
that. So when I say, are you willing to wrestle? I'm asking, Pastor, are you willing to wrestle?
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor, say, are you willing,
to
wrestle? Come on, say, are you willing,
to
wrestle? Say, are you willing, to wrestle?
Yes.
I want you to be reminded.
I'm a wrestler.
That this scripture outlines the second spiritual encounter of Jacob's life. The first encounter was recorded in the 28th chapter of Genesis. In chapter 28, Jacob met God at a place called Bethel. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And at Bethel, this is where Jacob saw a ladder.
Yes.
But at Jabbok, this is where Jacob saw the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At Bethel, Jacob became a believer. But at Jabbok, Jacob was broken.
Yes,
at Bethel, he became a son. At Jabbok, he became a prince. At Bethel, he died to his sin. But at Jabbok, he died to himself. At Bethel, Jacob was left with a spring in his step. But at Jabbok, he left with a limp. Come on, somebody. Every person under the sound of my voice in this place needs to understand that you have to have a Bethel experience.
Yes.
Are you with me? Bethel is where he saw a ladder with angels ascending and descending with messages up to God and from God. Every believer ought to have a Bethel experience.
Yes.
A Bethel is an experience, is a place where you know that you met the Lord, because this is where Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. You ought to know where you met the Lord.
Yeah.
You ought to have a Bethel experience. Are you with me? You should know the hour. You should know the day. You should know the place. And you should know the exact moment where you met the Lord for yourself, who he really was and who you really saw him to be. You should know it.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Bethel will get you to heaven.
Yes.
But just like a Bethel experience, you need to have a Jabbok experience, because Bethel will get you to heaven, but Jabbok will get you fit for earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stay with me. I'm glad about heaven, and I thank God for it, and I'm hopeful that we're all on our way there. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to get there. If you don't want to go, don't hold me back. I'm thankful for heaven, and a Bethel experience will get you there. But what about while you're down here?
Well,
you've got to be useful to the kingdom while you're here. God can't use you until he breaks you down. Stay with me.
Yes.
Some folks can't praise God.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Some folks can't shout.
Yeah.
Some folks can't give God glory.
Well,
because they haven't really been broken yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Some of us are still too full of ourselves. Some of us still have too much pride.
Some of us
have a little bit of money. Some of us still have a good house and a nice car, a good doctor's report. God hasn't broken us down yet, and that's why we can't really give him God. We can't give him praise.
Come on now. Well,
see, we get so full of ourselves. We think that without me, the church can't function. If I don't show up, what are they going to do? If you have that kind of attitude, God can't use you, and you can't give him praise.
Yeah.
Authentic.
Yeah.
But just like Bethel, you need Jabbok. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We need to come to a place in our life where God empties you of you.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
What does that mean? You've got to get to a place where God empties you of you. See, God can't use you until you learn the difference between conviction and slander.
All right. Well, come on.
What does that mean? You have to get to a place where you, when you sit in church and the preacher says something and it hits you in your spirit, you have to know the difference between a conviction from the Holy Spirit and a preacher who is trying to attack you. If that's where you're at, you're in the wrong place. But if you don't understand the difference between conviction and slander, you will run from church to church. You will jump from ministry to ministry. Yeah. You will jump from pastor to pastor. And what you will have is the same problem in every church that you had before. Yeah. Because you don't know the difference between conviction and slander.
Well, yes, sir.
Can you want a witness to that?
Yeah. Amen.
You need to have a Jabbok experience. In verse 24, Jacob was very much alone. He was facing a time of testing. He had his wives and his sons and all that stuff. But what did he do? He sent them and everything he had to the other side of the river. Because he needed to be alone.
Yeah.
He was about to face his brother that had betrayed him and misused him about 20 years ago. But you see, God had to get him alone so he could wear him down. So you missed that. God had to get him alone. So he could talk to him. If you always in something and always running and always in a cluster, God can't speak to you. Sometimes he's got to get you alone.
Yes, amen.
There are some things that I will say to you alone that I would not say to you in a group of people, brother.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
There are some things that I would counsel you on alone that I would never say to you in front of a group of folks. If man is like that, why, how could we not think that God is the same way? There's some things he needs to say to you, but he can't get you because you're always running. If we're going to be strong Christians, we need to understand that we need some alone time with God.
Amen.
And it seems interesting because we're living in a culture now where we can't stand to be alone. We always need to be connected to something or someplace. We always have a desire and a need to be connected. We live our lives like we are the star of our own personal reality television show.
Amen. Come on.
Is that not true?
Yes.
Come on, let's be honest. Don't we live our lives like we're the star of a reality show?
Yes.
8 o'clock on Thursday?
Yes.
Come on. Tim's World. We walk around looking to see, come on, I'm telling the truth. We look around looking to see who's looking at us. We can't get through a regular conversation without checking our phone. We can't enjoy a meal unless we're connected. Phone on the table. Look, I got mine right here.
Come on, Drew.
I'm talking to me too. Phone on the table, taking pictures of our food. I'm a good one for that.
Come on, Drew.
Can't have a conversation with someone without checking. If we're not, we're on Facebook. If we're not on Facebook, we're on Instagram. If we're not on Instagram, we're posting something on Twitter. Your pastor studies and prays and prepares all week long for Sunday, and we can't sit through the service without checking on Facebook. Everything needs to be at our fingertips. We have to have earphones in. One of my cousins, you can't talk to him. You don't get earphones in him. Then when you take them off, he can't hear you. In my house, something always has to be on. I can't fall asleep unless the television is on. Always connected, constantly texting, always talking. Because why? We're scared to be alone. The truth of it. Why? Because we're scared of the noise that silence makes.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
All right.
I wish you had some folks that understood.
Come on.
We're scared to be alone because when we're alone, we have to face ourselves.
Yeah.
When we're alone, we've got to deal with ourselves. When we're alone, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and deal with the person that nobody else sees but God. And that's why we're walking into walls and crashing cars and killing people, because we're texting while we're driving. We're texting while we're walking. The other day on Hamilton Street, kid ran almost right into my car on a bicycle. Because he was sending a text message. My flesh wanted to run him over and put him in the back. Business is slow this month. We can't stand to be alone because we don't want to be unconnected. And it's not just young folks, it's old folks too. Come on. I'm grateful for the times that I can be alone with him. One of the great hymns of the church says, I come to the garden alone. See, we don't sing that stuff anymore. While the dew is still on the roses and the voice that I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he goes on to say, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own in the God. The joy that we share, that we tarry there alone with him, is like none other that we'll ever, ever know. He speaks in the sound of his voice. It's so sweet that the birds shut up. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he'll sing to you will sit in your heart and it will ring. Don't you know that God will walk with you? Y'all ought to talk to me today. He'll talk with you. If you get alone with him, he'll tell you that you're his own. If you get alone with him, he'll tell you that he's your child, you're his child. If you get off of Facebook and get in this book sometime, amen, somebody, disconnect with people, disconnect with places, disconnect with things that take you out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop over noise and take a pen and let God speak. Text messages started coming. Emails started flying around. I said, my God, I can't even hear from you. I shut everything down. I shut everything down. I called my right hand at the office. I said, you have the phones. Don't call me for nothing. And I didn't speak for 3 days to a soul but God. And on that third day, when I took the phones back, the pastor of this house was on the other end.
Go ahead.
He said, come on over here. We got a place for you. When you get alone with him, he can talk to you.
Okay.
Let me share this and then I'll run. If I could, I'd run. Husbands and wives. Sweethearts, boyfriends, boo, babe, whatever y'all be calling each other. Understand that not every waking minute needs to be with you.
Amen.
Maybe there's a light in here that will say amen. Not every minute needs to be spent with you.
Amen.
Listen, and men, I understand, the preachers they get up there and say she's the cream in my coffee, the peach in my cobbler. They go through all that and that's cute. But when the enemy attacks, you don't need sex, you need your Savior.
Yeah,
when the enemy attacks, you don't need to hold Boo and Bae's hand. You need to say, precious Lord, take my hand. See, those things are nice, but they're not the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Because when your soul is weary, you need to have a personal connection with your Savior. Come on, somebody. Jacob was there alone, and he had face to face with God and himself.
Yes. Well,
and to tell the truth, that you may as well say it. There's Jacob in me. But I believe in being fair. If you're going to talk about me, I'm going to talk about you too. What's fair is fair, right?
Amen.
So if there's a little bit of Jacob in me, there is also a little bit of Jacob in you. Amen. We didn't wake up looking like this. I know Sister Deborah did not wake up looking beautiful like that. I'm sorry. I know I didn't wake up looking like this. And neither did you. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I got up this morning and I look in the mirror, that's the real me. Sometimes I look at that and say, God have mercy. I get in the shower, I come out, and I'm a wet version of the dry mess that went in. Amen. Then you got to nip some stuff and tuck some stuff in, pull some stuff out, get a comb, and you got to do some stuff, amen?
Yeah.
We're not all this wonderful shade. We got to even stuff out. said to somebody the other day, I'm so fat. They said, you know, I said, man, when these buttons come on, everything fall out. But the point of that is sometimes we need to get naked with ourselves.
Yes.
And we need to stand before God with an acknowledgement of this is me. Because he know it already.
Yes.
Coming and dressed up and crimping up and coming to the altar and giving God your Sunday, this is me, isn't going to get you very far.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to just take our clothes off and take our mask off. You know, that Sunday morning mask that we wear.
Yeah.
That Sunday morning, how are you? I'm blessed and highly favored, but on Monday, you'll get cussed out.
Yeah.
You know, that Sunday mask that we wear, that folks think that we're so holy and that we've got it all together on Sunday, but if they could see us on Sunday night, or if they could have seen us on Saturday night.
Well,
I think for Halloween, we should all take our masks off and see what everybody really doing. I was reading a book this week called Social Media and the Church. And it was sharing about how social media has become such a part of our lives. And it's unfortunate that without it, it's very difficult for the current church to continue to minister. Sadly, the new church is at Panera Bread or on your couch. Or, you know, we have a larger e-membership than we have physically.
Yeah.
That's a shame. But if you don't meet folks where they are. So I was reading a book about social media and the church, and it was saying that you should examine yourself. And it's important that your social media is an accurate representation of who you are, not just on Sunday. Right? And one of the things it was saying is that if you have to go in and block certain people so they can't see certain parts of your not Sunday life, then there's a problem somewhere. You're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
If it hits you, say ouch. Let's move on. We need to take our pride off. Jacob was there alone, and it was during this time he was with God, he became very much alive. In verses 24 and 25, it says Jacob was alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, they touched him. He touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and it was out of joint as he continued to wrestle with him. So I ask you a question. Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Just shout. Have you ever been in so much pain or so much trouble that you've had to pray all night long?
Amen.
You can pretend that it's not you, but I have been there.
Yeah.
I have prayed all night long.
Yeah.
Amen. I couldn't sleep or rest, tossed and turned, trying to figure out how's this going to play out. Is it going to go this way or is it going to go that way?
Yeah.
How can I help God in this particular situation and make it turn for my good? Have you ever had to pray all night long? This is called wrestling with God. Are you willing to wrestle with God? Amen. I've had to wrestle with him. And when you say this, I know it's not just your words, but it's something, you know, God says, I know what your plans are. And but yet we still wrestle. And we say things, you know, I know what your plans are, but I can't stand her.
Come on,
let's
now.
Be real. I know what
come
the Bible says, but will you bless what I'm trying to do?
Anyhow.
See, we quiet.
Come on.
I don't mind telling the truth. There's been some times in my life that instead of asking God to help me, I've made plans and I've asked God to bless them. And I know I'm not the only one that has gone to the head of God and asked him to bless what I was doing. He said, bless and do what God has already blessed. Me to do.
Amen.
We need to stop asking God to bless our mess.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. It's time to be real and stop asking God to bless the mess that we've made. Amen.
Yeah.
There have been times that I knew what was right and I chose to do the opposite thing. Am I the only one? Is this thing on? I know there have been times when I knew what was right, but I did the opposite. I didn't make a mistake.
Yes.
I did exactly what I wanted to do. I wasn't crazy. I didn't make a mistake. I saw that it looked good, and I wanted it, and I knew it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And there are times times in our lives where we do things like that, then we label them as mistakes. And we need to get real and stop labeling our mistakes as sin. Sin is just that. Sin. We did it. We wanted to do it. We weren't crazy. We said, I'm going to do it. Then we asked God to bless it anyhow. Jacob prayed that night. He was privileged to be in a place where the Lord showed up and answered him for himself right there in that spot.
Amen.
See, God has to touch us in a place that takes the fight out of us.
Yes.
I wrestled in school, and I learned quick that you've got to wear them out before they wear you out.
That's right.
You got to get underneath them and kick their feet out from underneath them. So when their head hits the mat, it takes a little bit of wind out of their lungs.
Yeah.
And then before they get back up on their feet again, you swoop them out again. Then you come out from. So you got to hit foot.
Come on, say it,
Pastor. See, God can't use us. Amen. He got to hit us and take some of the fight out of us.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to come to that place where God breaks us. And if anyone in here has been broken and you've hit bottom, you know that when you're there's no real place to look but up.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, girl.
You should be able to help me testify right there. When you hit bottom, has there anybody been bottom but me? Am I the only one?
Right.
Am I the only one that had nowhere to look but up? Am I the only one that thought there is no way other than that and there's no way to go but up? Am I the only one that's been there? What we don't realize is when we're going through the valley, when we come out the other side, we're strongest in the places where we were weak before we went through. Paul had a thorn. He asked the Lord three times to get that thing out of him. Three times he went to him. And I don't believe he said, Lord, I got this thing. I believe that he went to the Lord and said, hey, I've got this thing and I can't function. And I need you to get it out of me. I need you to take this thing from me so I can do what you need me to do. I don't think he went to him real easy. I think he went to him and I think he pleaded, take this thing from me.
Yes.
And three times he said no.
Yes.
My strength can only be made perfect in your weakness. Don't understand what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, God has your back.
Come on, somebody.
Even in today's political climate, we as a people are still in a better place than we have ever been in our lives.
Yeah.
Even though it appears that we have taken a few steps back, and yes, we have, because 45 is a clown, but he's our 45, and we've got to deal with it. Amen?
Yes.
And it may seem that we are not in a good place, but if we look back over the history of our people, today we are still in a better place than we have ever been in our lives.
Yeah,
we drive Mercedes and BMWs. We live in big houses. We have jobs that we've never had before. We go into places that we've never been able to go into places before. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But we have to understand that God will break us where we think we're the strongest. We're being broken as a people.
Yes.
Because we forgot where we came from.
We're
being broken as a people because we forget it wasn't but 20 years ago where they were hosing us down in the street.
Amen. Yeah. Well.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Many of us have beautiful homes, nice cars, money in the bank, a portion of good health. But God will break us where he thinks and we think we're the strongest. Mm-hmm. And I ask you, can you still praise God after he take your car? Come on, somebody. Can you still praise God when you lose your job? Can you still praise God when you have to move from the big house to an apartment? Y'all aren't talking to me. Can you still praise God? God will break us where we think we're the strongest. Jacob was alone, but he was alive. God altered it. Before the word became flesh, God shows up in the presence of an angel, and Jacob wrestled with him all night long. Because you see, when our sins catch up with us, we have to wrestle to get back up on our feet again. Amen. Are you willing to wrestle today? Somebody say, I'm willing.
I'm willing.
See, God was taking Jacob to the city, but it was a 20-year journey. journey from Bethel experience to Jabbok. For Jacob, it was a 20-year lapse from salvation to usefulness. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
It takes a while to be useful. See, people look at me and they say, he's moving too fast. He's doing this too fast. Why is he doing that? But what you don't understand is this is a 24-year journey for me from salvation to usefulness. I have had 24 years to prep and prepare for such a time as this. Amen. Somebody. The Lord said, what is your name? And we need to ask ourselves that same question. He said, my name is Jacob. And I bet then he thought about how he tricked his brother. I bet he started thinking about, oh, I done told him my name. And now he's going to know I stole from my brother. I deceived my father. What goes around comes around. And see, what you send into the lives of other folks will surely come back to you. Amen. Somebody.
Amen.
See, I believe that Jacob was face to face with the Lord. And the Lord says, that's no longer your name. You have a new name. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You have a new name. Your name is now Israel. And that means prince with God. You wrestled with God and you prevailed. And those of you, come on somebody, that have wrestled and are on the other side of that, no one on earth can make you doubt God's faithfulness. I'm here to tell you that I have wrestled with God, and there is nobody that can make me doubt the faithfulness of my God. I've been through the valley, I've come out the other side. I've been through the storm, and I've come out the other side. And when I came out, there is nobody. Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help. I know if thou withdraw yourself from me, where will I go? See, after God breaks you, then he blesses you.
Yeah.
But after he blesses you, he gonna brand you.
Mm.
Branding is a lasting mark or a trait.
Yes.
It is a reminder of who you are now and whose you are. Amen.
Amen.
Many times branding will keep the high humble.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
How has God branded Jacob? He touched him in the socket of his hip.
Uh-huh.
And Jacob limped for the rest of his life.
Uh-huh.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, y'all ought to talk to me. You may not have a limp today.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not Jacob, but you've seen me walk. Amen.
Uh-huh.
And I can testify to you that God has broken me.
Yeah.
Y'all to shout right there, even if it was for me. Y'all to shout right there. I can testify that God has broken me, and I can testify that God has branded me. Come on and give him praise. And that's why I don't care what folks say about me. I don't care if they talk about my past sins. I don't care if they're funny in the church and think I don't know. I wrestle with God, and I know that you may be in a battle right now, but keep on holding on. Unchanging hand, and understand that your branding will come.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. If you're in the valley, you don't understand why. All you have to know is that the night lasts, but it doesn't last forever. Come on, somebody, and come on, somebody, and talk to me. If you don't understand why, know that we all must travel this road. God will lead you. Come on, somebody, say God will. Say God will. God will lead you. God will make the way. There will be some days where it just doesn't seem to make sense to us. There'll be some days where we'll say, why do we keep going through all this trouble? There'll be some days where we say, all of this for just that. Come on, somebody, but know that God knows what, Pastor Terry said, he already knows the destination.
Yes, amen.
We may see a small group, but he already knows where we're going. Amen.
Amen.
And it's being prepared right now.
Yes.
Whatever that thing is, wherever that, come on, y'all, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Whatever that thing is, wherever it is, it's being prepared right now. The only reason we can't drop our mask and get real with ourselves. So when the blessing comes, all we gotta do is walk right into that thing. Cloud days and rainy days. Somebody say, what the Bible? Somebody say, what the Bible? The Bible says the trouble. Come on, somebody. And I'm about to close. The trouble of this present time. It's not worthy. That person not worthy. What they said ain't worthy. What they talk about isn't worthy. All this mess isn't worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us when we stand before His throne. Hallelujah. Before we live, I can face tomorrow. Before we live, all my spirit gone. I know, all God can give and my life, your life is worth, it's worth a living, because Jesus lives. Now hallelujah, He lives today. He walks with me, He talks with me, and He tells me I'm his home. Backslidden and need to rededicate your life, press your way about who's looking, don't